Goodbye and do not reflect those of the Evening Rush Network. Viewers' discretion is advised.
Let me explain to you the reason why I am the way I am inside your tainted views, my failures and my victories, situations that I learned can trigger me, decisions that I've regretted instantly, ways that I've grown and how I move differently. Listen close if you're into me, I'm guarded, I'm open, I'm struggling, making the adjustments to this new dating world.
Yo, welcome to another episode of the Rels Relaxation Hour. I'm your host, Rels, joined again, once again, by my partner in crime, Blacko. What up, bro?
First of all, I know it's my partner in crime. I don't commit crimes, all right? You got it correct. You should set my partner, my co-host. Get it right, man. Stop doing that. You're making me seem like a criminal.
You the one with the death row background. Well, not now, but you the one with the death row background.
Nah. I know what you're talking about, me. Listen, Suge Knight's my uncle, man. That's it. That's my uncle.
Got you. What's going on, though? How you?
I feel like shit. Shitty weekend. The weather was great. I wasn't great. How was you, though?
Hey, Auntie. I had a great weekend, actually. Yesterday was actually pretty good. First of all, shout-outs to my lady who was sick as well. Feel better. She been sick, too. Coughing up a lung.
But, she ain't got that vid, right?
I don't think so. She's just sick. She's not feeling good, though. But my weekend was pretty good. Yesterday, I celebrated my grandfather's 80th birthday. So we took him out to eat. So, you know, we had a birthday cake for the both of us. He had 80, I had 40. So together, we 120 years of experience and knowledge on the earth. So
you took his birthday cake and made it a part of yours.
No.
You're selfish.
I'm an only child, so it is what it is. But it wasn't my idea. It was his wife that she actually put the. Funny thing is, I didn't even know she put the name on my cake, and I was just like, oh, like they made me feel like I was part of the family.
I'd have took your name off.
You was mad disrespectful. I'm gonna remember that.
I took your name off. Why are you on there for? It ain't your birthday passed already.
First of all,
you was throwing dollars in these strippers' booties.
Oh, he talked about birthday. First of all, I have a picture that shows that we were both throwing dollars in strippers' booties. So don't try to just throw the slam
that
on
was me.
It
was me. That was first and foremost in church that night, bringing it from Saturday to Sunday. So you a whole liar.
Pink, you hear these lies, right? Okay. You hear these lies, right, Pink? You see this bullshit?
Whoa. One thing, I saw pictures. I saw flicks. I saw pictures. I saw big booty girls. I was like, oh, y'all living y'all best life.
Yeah, it was
but if it's a lie, it's a lie.
Now you told me to do it.
You lying. Not me. You know what? I don't do that. I don't do that type of stuff. I don't subject the women to just throwing them filthy dollars at them. So that was me.
We know Blacko is a God-fearing man, right?
You know what?
He's a God-fearing man.
Obviously, the show is starting off with a bunch of lies. So with that being said,
that's why Black people can't stick together. this is slander.
Yo, slander. I swear to God. Yo, the show just started and everybody's lying already. It's crazy. Right.
Who lies? I don't lie. First of all, I don't lie. It's called storytelling, all
right? You are a child of God, right?
I am. Everybody is. Except for time molesters.
Absolutely. And rapists.
Yeah, except for them. Same shit to me. Same thing. They all deserve, you know, the walk the plank with iron boots on.
Before we get the show started, I actually just want to send my condolences to all the lives lost in Buffalo over the weekend.
Houston too.
Houston
and California. Yeah, they had it too.
All this senseless.
Absolutely.
Killings.
You know. Funny story. I lived in Buffalo for some time, and that same Tap supermarket that got shut up. I used to shop there. You know, I had to come check with my Buffalonians to see if they were okay. And luckily, all of them were okay. All of them were well. But yeah, that's a situation. That's crazy. And Rough Buff, that's what they call it out there. Rough Buff. Not for nothing. I lived out there for a minute. Yeah, rough buff. Okay.
Rough buff. That's, yeah. That shit was crazy, man. Like I seen the first 20 seconds of the video, and I'm not gonna lie to y'all. Like I thought it was a fucking video game. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's how it looked. Like it wasn't like clear picture. It looked like video game picture. Cause the GoPro he had on his hand. So now I really realized, like, yo, this is the actual video. I cut that shit off because it's crazy.
I ain't gonna front that shit.
We grew up in the hood, granted. Mm-hmm. Nah, it ain't. That's why I couldn't finish it. Like videos like that, like we grew up in the hood. We hear about people getting shot, you know, and all that other shit. But shit like that it's sad to say, but it's different. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That was racially motivated. Shit that we see in the neighborhood, it'd just be different type of motivation. Like why motherfuckers do what they do.
Absolutely. That is, they call that rough buff city. Right, I spent a little bit of time out there, so I kind of know what that's about. They call that Rough Bus City, and it was actually a situation where I was there, and like they do shootings in broad daylight. They don't give a goddamn out there. It's like Rough Buff City out there, seriously. And that's why the people that I hold dear to me, that I hold close to me, that I know out there, I had to come and like, how y'all doing? Are y'all okay? Y'all good? You know, that's the situation out there. That's Rough Buff City. And they don't play.
Yeah, I had to check on
no games out there. Talking about Wild it's Wild really West.
Sad, man.
Talking about Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West out there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Huh.
It's crazy though.
But that's like today in the Bronx, like even with the Bronx, like these last 3 days in the Bronx, literally a total of like 7 people got shot within the same vicinity. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. Like even today, like 5 o'clock, 11-year-old girl got shot walking from school. So it's like, wow. Yo, it's like, what the fuck is really going on out here that everybody's on some shoot shit? Like, it's to the point that, like, now it's like, yo, like, I just told my bros earlier, like, I'm not even trying to touch the streets really this summer. And if anybody who know me, know I like to be everywhere. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I could agree with you, Blacko. I'm somebody that's outside. I want to be outside. However, like the way things are going now, you know, typically it's really not safe to be outside. Like it's like the purge that's going on right now, or that's happening right now. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, like what is happening? We are people that are used to being outside. We have a certain background and a certain situation that a lifestyle that we live. And it's just like, we can't be outside for the most part because it's really not safe. And we want to be outside. However, it's just like so much black on black crime. I mean, of course, typically this has been going on for the most part. And usually it's been happening. However, it's just like went from a level 10 to 100 real quick. And it's like, this is what's happening now. Like, this is what's going on now. If you ask me, how about this? On a political standpoint of it, I blame it on the vaccine.
Jesus Christ.
I blame it on the vaccine. Yeah, I said what I said. So what? I blame it on that.
The views expressed by Pink is not expressed by the views of the Rose Relaxation.
No, I won't blame no vaccine. I blame no motherfuckers out here, men, women, and apparently these young boys too. It's just broke. And honestly, you know, it's no money out here. Like, nobody's not getting no money, so they figure right now they taking the money. But as far as the violence go, violence is, you know, all the money that was given, you know, a lot of people that wasn't working was making more money. The people that was getting all these, you know, all this money from the government, you know, from the food stamps into the PPPs and all, you know, unemployment. I truly believe motherfuckers out here buying guns. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I've never seen so much gunplay in my life.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Blacko, that absolutely may be the case, but look at all the people that's being let out, like from like mental health institutions and all of that. We see a lot more in mental health institutions, like institutionalized people that's actually being let out now. You know what I'm saying? We never seen that much in our community. They letting everybody out. Everybody is like basically running rampant. You understand what I'm saying? And I think it's like an institutionalized situation, you know.
You're in phantom mode, Pink.
Oh, you yeah, can't. Word. I'm sorry. Oh, you can't hear me, but you can't see me.
Yeah.
Nah. Wait, what? Can you see me?
She said, no. She said what she said about the vaccines and then went ghost. Didn't want to hurt anyone.
Oh, my God. Can you hear me? Oh, I don't know how I did that. But we don't see you. Wait. What? Whoa. Hold on. 1 second.
Gentlemen,
can you see me now?
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, us in the Rails Relaxation
Can you see me now?
Yes. Anything and everything can happen on this show, guys. So
exactly. Happy to the best of us. Don't worry about it. But yo, so you know. Dawn said something, and I have a question. Dawn said something in the comment, and I have a question to that. I see this a lot. People speak on ghost guns. Could y'all two people in the comment section explain to me what is ghost guns? Because I never heard that term before until recently. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what a ghost gun is. To me, a gun is a gun. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay. So while we wait to get the answer to that, let me get this shout out to the sponsors of the show first, so we could get them out the way too, because we got into a conversation real quick and didn't noodle over that. So shout outs to Sands by Butter, Bobby D Customs. Yo, Bobby D Customs got a lot of shit moving right now. He sent me some shit the other day that I was just like, okay, I see you. Like, he is moving. I Am Her Creations, Linden Coin Laundromat, Rhinestones in a Box. Actually seen something that my cousin did with her rhinestones on some Crocs. I think earlier, matter of fact, I meant to hit up. Them just look fire. But I have all of those sponsors on my own page that you can have the link to and check them out. And once again, also shout out 2920 Clothing. If you need anything for the summertime, hit me up, Black Orb. Dawn said you buy the parts online and build it. Oh, you know what? I did hear that. I seen something like that a couple of months ago. That they were talking about that on the radio. Buying parts online and building the gun by yourself.
Oh, okay. So that's ghost guns. Okay, because I'm like, yo, what the fuck is ghost guns? And then, you know, they always talking about they got ghost gun suppliers. They're catching these people XYZ. So I'm just like, yo, what is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know people buy guns. They buy guns where they, you know, clean, dirty. But it got to the point nowadays, I think people be even buying dirty guns. I remember back in the day where you want to buy pistols, you know, you want to make sure the gun is clean. Because at the end of the day, you buy a pistol from somebody, that shit is dirty. You get caught with it, you're getting a charge on that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So everybody wanted to buy their clean guns and shit. So nowadays, I think everybody's like, fuck it. It's clean, it's dirty. It's going to be the same amount of time.
Oh, from my neck of the woods, Blacko, pardon soul, from my neck of the woods, though, what a ghost gun is, a ghost gun is something that's non-traceable, basically. That's something that's, like, highly classified. You cannot figure out where it came from, and they shoot fire, they do damage, and all of that. But that's a ghost gun from my neck of the woods. But, That's what a ghost gun is, from my understanding of what a ghost gun is.
Yeah, see, Marty just said ghost guns are untraceable, unserialized, and you put together at home.
Absolutely. You can't place a serial number behind it. You can't do nothing with a ghost gun. It is what it is.
No, what?
Right, Shug.
You know what? We done got the whole conversation.
We got the whole conversation.
Yo, host number one, please introduce our guest tonight, please. Because we are slipping. He's got in the whole conversation.
Oh, wait.
What's the website, dog?
Yo, you know we family. So we had these conversations on the outskirts. We family. So, yeah.
Hey, how you doing, Vet? So let's introduce the guest tonight. Me and Blacko have known this individual shit what seems like forever, honestly. I've watched a lot of your shows, and I think I've hit you up in the past about your shows. But shout outs to our guest tonight, screenwriter, web series producer, and everything in between, Miss Pink, what's going on? Proper to give you the proper introduction this time. Because you came right on and got into a whole conversation without a proper introduction. So.
Oh, yeah. I was just following the suit in the way. Corner, so I don't know if y'all can see me.
iPhone.
I apologize.
Must be iPhone.
Gotta be iPhone.
Only iPhones do that. Gotta be iPhone.
No, I'm a. That's shady. I'm a Droid user.
Nah, Droids don't do this. Yeah,
real quick,
She must got the Samsung. She must got the Samsung like 6.
Of Droid.
If anybody calling you, just put your thing, and fill your calls, because that happens too.
Yeah. Tell them you busy.
You know, while she get herself together, ladies and gentlemen, So, Rose, you said you was with your grandfather and all that and everything. You know, that's what's up, brother. You know, not a lot of people get to spend time with their grandparents. That's why I'm glad, for my kids, for my sister kids, and, they could spend time with my mom because, a lot of them don't have their grandparents and shit left. And it's, that's a blessing, bro. Definitely a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, of all the grandparents that I have left, he's the last one that I have left. You know, my other grandfather on my father's side passed away last year. So he's the last one of all of them. My grandmother's passed away when I was younger. Younger. So, okay. Yeah, it's great to be able to still be able to spend time with him. You know, he's still moving around, mobile, so it's not like, and I'm looking at him yesterday and I'm like 80 years old. I'm like, he's moving around still like he's about 60. So it's like,
yeah,
it's good to see that he's still in good spirits. And he's about to go to Alabama for a month because he has a home in Alabama. So he go back and forth.
No. Tell them to go there. They'll treat black people right.
Now, obviously they treat him somewhat. They treat him somewhat decent. He's had a home there for about 10 years now.
Oh, that means he got a joint out there. He's still out here slinging. Okay.
No, he's not. He's all married. Right. Him and his wife go down there together.
This be the episode that his wife be watching. Like, oh, really?
You're an asshole. See, this is why I can't see you.
But yo, man, that's crazy. I think you're telling about the whole ghost gun shit because I really didn't know, and it's that may be the problem. And then Don says it's a whole website. I had to check that website out and just see how accessible it is, just for research purposes. If y'all know me, I don't like guns. It's too messy. I'm good.
Yeah, you see, Marty, he tried to throw slander on my grandfather's name. You see this bullshit? Super what? Slander.
How that is slander?
My grandfather, listen, man, my grandfather is been married. To be honest with you, he's been married to this lady. I can't even tell you how long it's been. What am I, 40 now? Probably longer than that. I don't even know. But chill, don't throw slander on my grandfather's name no more.
Yeah, that ain't slander. That's still A1 out there. Listen, man. Your grandfather gonna take a blue chew. That's it. He'd be
Yo, wow. Wow. Wow.
Listen, man. Listen, it happens, bro.
Shout out to blue chews, by the way.
Yeah, facts.
we're about to work a whole sponsorship deal on that right now, just off that one video clip. Watch. I'm about to video clip that whole one part. Yeah, what do you mean he's a pillar of the community? What is wrong with you? Stop endorsing in this slander. Chill. Y'all bugging. Leave my grandfather alone. See, Pink, what happened when you disappeared and they want to slander my grandfather? Mad disrespectful. Yeah, so you missed the whole...
I'm sorry. Pardon me, you guys. Pardon me. I'm having like technical difficulties over here. I was trying to get on from my laptop, but I cannot, so I'm on my phone right now. So it's just like my phone is, I'm sorry, a whole camaraderie of bullshit. Pardon me. I'm sorry. Right. But I'm here. I'm here with you guys. I'm here.
Okay, we're taking it out of your pay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. Y'all going to dock me? Y'all going to do this?
You know what? No. Matter of fact, you know what we're not going to do for your inadequacy so far? What we're going to do, we're going to talk some
business. Use the big words.
Yeah, I had to. Catholic School Education. Oh, shit. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna find a way to put one of these nice 2920 shirts on the one of your shows, since you done took away about 29 minutes and 20 seconds of podcast time away while you done disappeared.
It was definitely not that long. However, I definitely got y'all. With your franchise, I definitely have you guys. Yeah, don't definitely. Do that. Don't do me.
You see that, right, Blacko? I'm gonna screen record that part too.
Speaking of shows, you know. Speaking of shows, you know, we're gonna definitely talk about this show. And you know already, I got a beef with your show. You know why. So, but we're gonna talk about it, man. You know, ladies.
What's the beef? Let's talk about it. You know, we're gonna come up.
No. You said it. Let's get into it, Shug. Blacko, what's the beef you got?
I'm just saying, this is supposed to be an interview. I'm sorry. I'm getting it out the way. You know, first and foremost,
you were supposed to be a part of the show and she didn't give you a role.
Yes, I was.
I knew it.
I was. Yes, I was. But to who she gave my part to had me like, oh, word.
Well, I got a funny feeling. I think I know where you're going with this. I don't know why, but I got a feeling. Is it somebody you both know?
But you know what? I'll go see both of them and all that. It's all right, though. It's cool. It's all right. You know, it's all good.
Exactly, Marty. You're right.
So, we're going to, like I said, you know, since we're talking about your show, please enlighten the people on the show that we are talking about. Please tell us about Faith Tribulations. Am I saying it correctly?
Absolutely. Faith Tribulation.
I know exactly yes, where you're going with this one. Pink, so, I know where you're going with this one. I didn't even tell me who it is, but I know where you're going with this. Like, for some odd reason,
This is an interview. We're gonna interview our guest, our esteemed guest. I'll get her ass later, or after the show. I'm gonna get her. Don't worry about it. But please, you know, a lot of people don't know the show that we're talking about. So please explain to the people that what is Faith Tribulations, you know, and what was the process of everything of going through the show. Please explain to the people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. So Faith Tribulation was based on a young lady by the name of Faith who grew up in a foster care system. And she was adopted and all of that, what have you. And she basically adapted to the street life. Not that she was a drug dealer or anything like that. She became a transporter for a local person, that man who was basically that man. As time went on, as she had kids and all of that, she decided that she wanted out of the game. And unfortunately, she basically got robbed from her last hit. Her last hit basically took her completely out, where she tried to figure out who lined her up for the most part. And her brother and everything, everybody tried to get her, try to help her find out who robbed her just to get that money back to this major hot shot, big shot, that she owed money to. So that was basically the premise of the show. You know, I think I know what you're getting at, Blacko, as far as being that man in charge, that HNIC in charge, or who she...
I knew it.
Yeah.
Look at his face. He mad right now. Look.
Like, no. I'm not. Honestly, no.
Blacko, here's your chance right now. Say something real quick. Here's your chance to audition right now on the show in front of everybody.
Nah, I can't. I just get in the moment. I can't get in the moment right now. I gotta be in the scenario. Once scenario comes, then you know we talk about it. Right, but now I was never met.
Picture the scenario right here. Listen. The scenario is right now. You wanted a lead in the show. You wanted a role in the show, and the producer told you no. Now, how do you handle it?
Yeah, tell me how you handle it, Blacko.
See, here you go. Here's your chance to audition. You're doing it right now on the show.
Yeah, y'all not gonna put me. Hold on. Y'all not gonna put the front street on me right now. I'm under the weather right now. I can't be acting right now. You know, an actor has the days off. Today's one of my days off. I can't be
you
acting
just
right
now. You just spazzed on her 5 minutes ago. Now you all of a sudden you can't do it?
No, because I always get on every other time. I ain't getting on in a minute about this. That's why. It's all good. Listen, I ain't worried about it because, you know, we gonna be set something up. You know, hopefully, you know, we're going to work together.
Tell him, Don.
Yeah, Don, I ain't stuttering either. My business.
Nah, Don said, you in Hollywood, bros, no days off. Here you go. Here's your audition right now.
However,
you give me
Blacko, I think I know. I think I know, but the know when I know when I know. However, right? I work for the most part. I am a producer. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a screenwriter. I will always have a place for you and a particular project that I have. So fret not, okay? I love me some you, Blacko. You my dog. You my nigga. So fret not. I'm about that life when it comes to the screenwriting. Even when it came to this particular project, I'm sorry, you guys. When it came to this particular project, a lot of people did not think I can do it, right? For the most part, people that know me, I'm comical, I'm silly, I'm funny, or whatever the case may be. So people didn't believe that I can hold a stature, that I hold a stature, a particular stature that speaks volumes on this particular lifestyle or this particular scene. So when they saw that I created something like this, they basically first thing was like, what do you know about this? Like, I'm goofy. I'm silly. I'm goofy. What do you know about this? But me, I'm Miss Pink. I'm a writer. I'm a creator. I'm a director. I'm a producer. That's who I am. I wear many hats. You see me? I got a red hat on right now with gray hair. That's who I am. I'm comical. I'm animated for the most part. That's who I am. So it's just like I wear many hats for the most part. You know what I'm saying? I wear many hats, several hats. And I'm sorry. I'm still getting phone calls. I'm getting annoyed with that.
I thought she was going to do like a TikTok video and your hair was going to change with your hat.
Oh, no. No, you know, I wear many hats for the most part. Like, you know, I like to tell jokes or whatever. So people didn't believe that I could create something so serious, something so monumental, something so in tune with real life. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why I'm saying I take myself seriously as a producer, a writer, a creator, or a content creator, whatever you want to call it, just based on the fact that I do this for real. This is my life. This is my livelihood. I do this for real. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, Kajibu. What was your inspiration for even starting to, like, write screenplays or, like, what was your inspiration? What got you into doing it in the first place?
What got me to do it in the first place, basically, I was someone who always wanted to act, right? But then I realized that I'm not on the major leads on the acting role, right? So if I could just see something and create something, I always been animated. Everybody always told me, like, yo, you have a vivid imagination. Everything was vivid. Like, I was long-winded. I'm always long-winded when it comes to people. Like, you take too long. Like, you need to be a writer. Like, you're long-winded. So I started writing. And when I started writing, and I started writing basically everything that was going on around me, people like, oh, shit, like, that was my inspiration. Like, you really saw that. That's really how it goes. Based on, like, different scenarios of what happens, like, you really saw that. You was really there. And then I don't add what happened. I add the way I see it. I write how I saw a situation happen. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not like what you see, because everything is visual. Everything you look at is visual. Everything is visual. However, I only see what's visual to me. So when I see when people see how I visualize it, they be like, oh shit, that was real. That's funny. I saw it that way too. Some people like, nah, ain't happened like that. But that's not the way I saw it. You understand what I'm saying? So I knew that I had it in me. I knew that. That's why I call it, like, with my talk show, isn't it ironic the way I see it? It's always how I seen it. I don't care how you saw it, how they saw it, how we saw it. I only go about how I seen it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's inspired me, my own visual.
And with the show Faith Tribulations, you was the director and you was also an actor, you know what I'm saying? So my question to you is, how did you juggle both? You know, a lot of people really can't juggle both. And I know you just say you wear many hats, but now I want to talk about the many hats that you wear as, you know, a producer of the show. Not everything else you do, but right now I'm talking about the producer of the show. How did you maintain, you know, studying your lines and at the same token realizing what's the best shot and the best scene you want to shoot for that? Because I know a lot of people think, you know, when you shoot movies and every, or, you know, all little videos is one shot take, and it's really not. Some scenes could take you at least like 2, like 4 or 5 hours. So how did you manage that? And like I said, and, you know, and I know it's difficulty on the set because not everything is perfect. So what was the difficult, what was the most difficult hat that you had to wear doing both, juggling both?
Okay, so, you know, one thing about it, right? Being a director, that is basically your vision. I'm just want to talk about, like, I want to differentiate between being a director and an actor. So when you direct something, that's basically the director's vision on how they see it, how they want it to be done. When it came to acting, like I said, I'm not an actress, right? However, I know I needed this to be done a particular way. And I didn't have nobody to fit that script or fit that role. So I kind of jumped into that because I know how I envision it. I know how I wanted to see it done. So that's why I jumped in and did that part or did these roles or did this part. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I definitely get what you're saying. Yeah. I definitely get it.
Yeah.
And also, as far as acting go, how was you able to assemble the cast? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you took my question, bastard.
I'm sorry.
That was gonna be my question, man.
I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. So I got you. Well, you can still, you know, ask that. Now with the cast, how did you, you know, how did you know who fit what?
So basically, like, as you guys know, I am part of a particular lifestyle, for the most part, that you guys are either in or used to be or still in. I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know. But I basically assembled a cast of who I know and who I thought, who I admire to fit what script based on my cast. Based on the characters that I've written. So you had, for the most part, I had a lot of hood riders. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say no names. I'm not going to say no names, but I had a lot of hood riders that assembled to my cast. Not only that, you know, I had people that I did grab off the streets or whatever that was from my neck of the woods. I am originally from Crown Heights, so I did bring in my folks that I had from my neck of the woods as well, that understand what my story was about or what was the base or the premise of what my story is about. So I brought everybody in. I brought Alliance. The dope part about it, everybody's still cool today. Everybody's still cool today. Everybody's still, for some way, some part or another, they still are cool with their fellow cast member. I definitely brought an alliance together. I definitely brought a family or a brotherhood or a sisterhood together for the most part, you know, where they know that I intertwined with this person in a scene, or I had a scene role or whatever with this person. So yeah, that was my due diligence to this. Not only was it a due diligence, it was also my craft. It was a part of my vision. It was part of my livelihood. It was part of my particular lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. If I answer you guys' question, you know what I'm saying?
You answered the question that I asked that Blacko stole from me. So yeah, you did a good job.
Oh, you a thief!
Blacko.
That's why he should be a perfect part of your movie. But anyway, we're gonna get back to that. We're gonna take a quick break, and then we got some more questions for you, Pink. If you're looking to start a podcast on the Evening Rush Network and you don't know how, this is how you do it.
Ayo.
Never mind.
He said, all right, yeah.
So okay, so then let's keep going. So we got a question from somebody in the comments, Pink. Said, what are the three movies growing up that inspired you to do what you do now?
Whoa. Okay. That is hard, but not hard, because I don't even know if y'all even know about this for real. Whoever asked the question, who's the question asker for the most part?
KD.
Okay. I don't know. Hi, KD. How are you? I like to address anybody who's asking me a question. So for the most part, right, I am a visual of a lot of 90s movies, right? I'm an 80s baby, but I like 90s. So movies, I have different genres of movies that I'm interested in or that I love. Like I am a romance, I am a action, and I am a drama, right? Those are like my three main categories that I work on. Or that I write about, or, you know, so to speak. And I like my gangster films, too. My favorite movie that inspired me, I don't know if you're familiar, you might be, but I love South Central. South Central?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that was a good movie.
South Central with OG Bobby Johnson and all of that. Not a lot of the dialogue. I switched it up into my own tune, but some of the dialogue that I had in Faith Tribulation came from that movie. You know what I'm saying? They came from that movie. So I love South Central. Another movie, I'm a Queen Latifah fan. So a portion of the dialogue came from Bringing Down the House. You know what I'm saying? Third, last but not least, a portion of the dialogue, and not in full effect, not assembly to everything, but it came from fucking shit. I love Set It Off. You know what I'm saying? So things came from different peaks of the film that I produced. It came from different peaks of these three entities. So yeah. So I have admirers. I have people that I admire, you know, South Central being one, Boys in the Hood. I love them West Coast movies. I don't know what it is about them West Coast movies, but I love them. You know, one of my favorite actresses is Queen Latifah. You know, and that's just basically what it is. So if I could snap a smidget of these movies, I also admire Spike Lee. Tyler Perry, I like him too. But I like Spike Lee, you know. And also shout out to our newest, Ava, you know. They are people that speak the same language that I believe I speak. There are people that speak the same language that I speak. I believe I speak. So I do have a lot of people that I admire in the industry. You know, so one thing about a creator, I try to, it's always a learning experience. Like I'm a student first. So these people are teaching and I'm learning. But the fact that I'm learning, I know that I'm a student, so I take a little smidge of it, smidge of what they're doing, and try to create my own. You know? Okay. So that's basically, what it is. Yeah.
So you said most of your dialogue came from these movies here, so I have a question
for you. Not most of it, nope. Most of the dialogue came from...
I'm sorry. Inspiration.
He's about dialogue. To get you for plagiarism in a
No.
Hear me out. I'm sorry. I stand corrected, people.
He's just mad because he's being cast.
And yeah, inspiration came from these movies. So my thing is this: like all the movies you named, except for Bringing Down the House, I never bothered to watch that. Like, you know, I pretty much knew word for word, especially South Central. South Central is one of my favorite hood movies. So my question to you is like, you know, did you, before you wrote Faith Tribulations, did you actually sit down and watch these movies simultaneously and realize, all right, this is what's going to inspire me to go forward? Because even at the time, like me and you spoke before, when I was doing writing, and, you know, we said, you know, go back and forth, whatever, you started telling me to do what you need to do. A lot of my shit came from inspiration, like you said. Like, you know, you find something you want to watch, boom, and you go from there. And I used to take from that, absorb it, and, you know, try to flip it to my own words. That's what you've done, and how long was that process?
It wasn't a long process at all. The story that I created, it was basically a story based on things that was going on, events that was happening around me. So I couldn't steal from here. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. It was just certain things that I liked when it came to certain moments. Like, for instance, in Faith Tribulation, it's out now. So whoever that's watching, I want to watch it and that want to see it, to view it, you can. It was an instant, a scene where Skeet came home from jail and he visited his girlfriend's home, and while he was knocking at the door, she was just like, oh my God, why you ain't telling me you was getting out? I would have did my hair or something if I knew you was getting out. That was, you know, that's what
that
OG.
I remember that scene.
Right. That's what OG Bobby Johnson lady said to him as he came home. You know, like, Bobby, why you ain't telling me you was getting out? I would have did my hair or something. So that was something you were sure of it. No, I'm just like, but that's was something that I thought that was like monumental and was real. Especially when in that type of time where you don't know your man is coming home and your man decide he wants to just surprise you coming home and he don't tell you, you don't know nothing about it. He comes and knock at the door, and then you and your the particular character, Serenity, she was laying on her couch reading a magazine. You know, she was flipping through magazines, she was flipping through reading or whatever the case may be, and he knocked on the door, and she was surprised to see him. And she was in a ponytail on her robe. Like, she didn't know her man was coming home. So she was like, baby, why you ain't telling me you was getting home? I want to do my hair or something. I thought that was some real shit. Like, you caught me on a spontaneous moment. Like, I was just in the house chilling. I was not doing shit, just reading my magazine. Heaven knows when your ass was coming home, but today's the day you decided to knock at the door.
That particular scene could have went one or two. That particular scene could have went one or two different ways too. That could have been really good or really bad.
No. I speak for every man, and I've never been locked up, but I'm quite sure I speak for every man who's fresh out of jail, who going to see their women. We don't give a fuck about your hair being done. As long as that thing, we trying to get it going. It's been time.
This is why I said that scene could have went one or two different ways.
Exactly, my brother. You are absolutely right. Because I'm the average man going to be like, yo, your head done. You looking nice. No. Listen, girl, I've been going for a minute. Let's go.
Bro, that average man could have came home and could have been another man in the house. It could have went one or two different ways. I'm so tired.
But yeah, that was just a... That was just an example, you know, and not for nothing, like a man coming home from jail. Of course, he don't give a fuck about what his woman look like. He know what his woman look like. That's why he fell in love with her. You know, she's a sexy. She's a baddie. He don't give a fuck. But to her, it means, for us women, it means everything. Like, we have to have our shit together. Had she known he was coming home, she would have had her shit together, well put together. She probably beat her face a little bit or whatever the case may be and just been ready for his return, you know. However, it ain't go like that. It was a surprise for him coming home. So just like, why you ain't tell me? I want to do my hair. She was black. She was in her robe, ponytail, book, glasses, you know, real nerdy, real, you know, real lax, real comfortable. So yeah,
It's a problem. You know, us ladies love to look good for you fellas. Like, y'all ugly ass men. We love y'all. We try to do everything we can to look good for you guys. You know what I'm saying? Real. For the most part.
That sounded real
personal. Word, facts. Word. Who hurt you?
No, it's not. I mean,
we're gonna get to the fact of who hurt you real quick. But before we do that, before we do that, we gotta take a quick break. So once again, let's try this again. If you're looking to get a podcast on the Evening Rush Network and you don't know how, this is how you do it.
Looking to podcast shows and do not know where to start? The Evening Rush Network can help you with that. Call us at 929-441-2417 or email us at theeveningrushnetwork@gmail.com for dates and prices. We got you for all your podcast needs. The Evening Rush Network. Tune in, subscribe, and share.
See. shout out to Blacko for changing his background. Death Row logo, man. Is his face. As you can see, it blends perfectly in with the background.
Exactly. So, I see that, man. It's gonna be on Death Row time, baby.
You stupid. Shout out to the sponsors once again: 2920 Clothing, Saying by Butter, Bobby D Customs, I Am Her Creations, Linden Coin Laundromat, and Rhinestones in a Box. Thank you for sponsoring the show. We appreciate it. So, producer, can you put up some of the pictures of Pink in action, if it's possible?
Word of facts, right?
Pink to go with her pink. The woman of many hats and many hairstyles.
Y'all didn't even know that was you.
She looked like one of them, right? She looked like one of them, right?
Oh, shit. I'm crying.
Oh, shit. So this picture right here, what was you actually doing?
Oh, for this part, this picture, I was actually doing like a sitcom, and I was slating. I was like the slater behind this particular project. So that's okay. Like a slate. Scene one, action three. Da, da, da. Yeah.
So is this sitcom out or no?
Oh yeah, actually, it's something that is actually on YouTube.
Okay, so before the show is over, we'll put out all of that where people could view all of your stuff. This picture right here kind of looks like this picture right here looks like he's telling her, "Well, sorry, we can no longer keep you at our job. There's nothing else we can do for you here." And she's get the look on her face like, "It's okay. I'm gonna blow this whole place up when I leave."
Like, oh my god. Oh, see, I say I'm not an actress, but I've been pulled into this particular scene. This scene was about I'm with director Mikey J. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. That's the director. Mm-hmm. It's called Keys and Cuffs.
Sorry to cut you off, right? Keys and Cuffs, uh-huh. Right? Here's a funny thing about that. There was mm-hmm. actually a scene that I was in that was shot in front of my building. And that's why I was like, he looks so familiar.
Oh, yeah, that's Mikey J. Yeah,
he's a good dude. One of my people is actually in the show. I think he's a cop in the show.
Yeah, yep, mm-hmm. yep.
He looked familiar.
With this, I was actually, I've also done modeling. I also had my hands, dabbled in modeling or whatever. So I came to this model show. This is something that Hourglass, this was something that I've done, particularly like as a model. Like I just got thrown in the fire or whatever. Like I wear many hats. I dip and dabble in all types of situations. So that's what that was about for the most part.
You also at once
model.
Early in the interview, you also spoke that you're having a talk show. Now, I don't know if you still have because I haven't seen it in a while. I know you have been mm-hmm. had blocked me on Facebook. I'll curse you out on live, but you know, tell us about your talk show. Cause you know, I definitely, when you had it on, I was definitely fine. I never called in and everything, but I also used to watch you, you know, and you definitely did your one too. My question is, what made you start doing your talk show and what made you stop? Cause like I said, I haven't seen it in a while. I don't know if you stopped because you've been busy or you stopped because you just, you know, you wasn't feeling no more, but what made you do that?
Okay.
So just to, yeah, I stopped because I've definitely been busy. I've definitely been going. I've moved on to my other endeavors for the most part. The name of my show was Isn't It Ironic the Way I See It? Basically, when I spoke about politics, relationships, and like pop culture for the most part. That was a hot situation. It was hot because it was a show based on my views and the way I've seen things or how I saw fit, how I seen fit. When it came to relationships, some people would say like maybe I was a man basher. Some people, I had my moments. Some people said I was a man basher. Some folks said that I was too hard on the ladies. I do this. Some things I agree with and some things I don't. Like, I do this. So sometimes men are the problem. Men are the root of most evil.
Whoa. First of all, we didn't bring you on the show for this. We didn't bring you on the show for this. We didn't do that.
And wait, Rouse. Wait. Hold on. Somehow, in some ways, sometimes women.
This is how
controversial my show was. I was, some people call me a man basher, and some people thought I was fucking it up for the feet for us women.
Listen to what you just said. You said men are the problem, and maybe in some ways, some shape, in some form, maybe sometimes women have a no. We're not gonna do that here. Not on a Rose relaxation hour. We're not gonna bash.
I'm Korean.
I like how you was like. I like
you guys are the reason why us women are crazy. Nah, no, I'm just playing. I'm just fucking with you. I'll just play it. But yeah, and I also spoke about politics. I also spoke about things that were happening that we all watch on television today. Like, how does that affect us? Can we relate to it? You know, I spoke about a lot of things. Pop culture is for the most part. Relationship, politics, and pop culture for the most part. So that was basically the premise of what my show was based on. You know, isn't it ironic the way I see it? Before I started my show, I did speak about personal things that I actually been through throughout the week. I brought my personal life into certain situations where once upon a time I was involved in this. It was crazy, y'all. Like, this is what happened. Oh my God. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, if y'all never watched my show, viewers that's watching, go back and watch it. I'm Sweet Pink Films on YouTube. So go back and watch it and see what the fuck I was talking about. Because I promise you I got some shit in my ass. But yeah. Anyway, what's up, y'all? What's up?
Nah, listen, man. I definitely understand it. I definitely get it. And like you said, you're a person with many hats. You wear many hats. I'm sorry. Excuse me, y'all. I got a little tired under the weather. You are a person that wear many hats. So what is your next goal? What, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you had a talk show. You've done a show. You know, I'm quite sure you're gonna be into movies soon. So what is your next goal? Is your next goal that really is the topple of the media world?
Actually... Yeah, like that's always been a goal. That's always been inspiration that I look forward to. Like, I ain't in this shit for nothing. I ain't in this because I'm playing. You know, I came in it into like, you know, an entry level platform, and I'm just working my way up. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying homage. I'm paying due to what it is that I actually want to do. Of course, I've done my own things or whatever the case may be, but it's not the same. It's not the same when you do your own independent shit versus when somebody like, hold on, baby, I'm about to give you some money to create your shit, to do your shit. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same. You know, so right now, I've got things written. I'm working on shit. I'm writing shit. I'm doing shit. You know, before it was the Cybus that I did. The Cybus has not been produced yet, although I've written it already last year. It has not been produced as of yet, only because I got to do this myself. And I'm a person that ain't got no money. I can't do this shit myself. It's real shit. I can't do this shit myself. However, I'm working on something called Two Down. This Two Down Writers is something that I think is going to be my next thing that I decide to put out there. I had to give the Cybus a break or whatever and put it in the back burner as much as I did not want to. But I understand and I have learned the industry a little bit more than what I did before. So this particular series that I'm working on is called Two Down. It's about New York City, New York State bike life. Yes, of course, we have Sons of Anarchy. We have the Mayans. That's talking about different parts of California. However, I'm talking about what goes down here in New York. You know what I'm saying? I'm bringing light to what goes down in New York State. You know what I'm saying? Whereas New York State, New York State is the only people that has auto clubs, that has social clubs. These other places ain't got that shit. I'm yes, talking about what goes on. But not that they talk about. Do they have that in the Mayans and the all of that? No.
I mean, you gotta understand. Well, in that type of lifestyle, you got like
how about do they matter? I'm sorry, do they matter?
Yes, in that lifestyle, do they matter? Social and auto do not matter in that type of lifestyle when it comes to the top dogs, the top eights, as they call them. You know what I'm saying? But you know, for that show that you're talking about, because we're not talking about that lifestyle. That's something that us three and a handful of people in the comments know about. But as far as that show you're talking about right there, that's definitely something that can definitely work. It's got so many different clubs. And the crazy part is you're going to have some people that's going to catch feelings like they always do because, you know, you're going to have certain clubs that's going to be wanting to be written a certain way. You're going to have the ones that want to be dominant. Absolutely. You're going to have ones that want to be the cool ones, the so-called grimy ones. So, you know, when you do that, go all in. That's what I can tell you. Go all in. No biasness. And, you know, and if you're going to use actors, like, even you don't got to tell a whole story about, who's the most dominant club in NYC, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on how you shoot it, you're going to have to use some legit NYC patches. So,
one thing about this, right? My particular thing is fictitious. Absolutely, it's going to be a fictitious situation, right? However, I do want to highlight because although we know like the premise of the world that we come from or we live in, right? We know this is a MC world, right? However, don't count us ACs. Don't count us socials out. However, it will not be a predominance of us ACs and social, but we got a little hint of a story too. You know what I'm saying? In New York. I'm sorry?
At one point we was dominant. We was definitely ACs, SCs definitely was up there. No offense to my two-wheel rider people. I'm sorry. I'm just speaking the truth.
Yeah, listen to the synopsis of the story. You know what I'm saying? Listen to the synopsis of the ideal. We, for the most part, one thing about the MC world that we live in, right? Because this is obsolete, their world. They allow us, for the most part, to come and do us here. Yeah, we probably had thousands of ACs, thousands of social. However, this is their world. I am a particular person that love this lifestyle so much, or I'm embedded to this lifestyle so much, I can't help not to talk about it. You know what I mean? I can't help not to dig my claws into this lifestyle. However, I'm not going to leave us out. You know, we play a part in that MC life too. You know, like, even you guys were auto clubs. You guys had MC backings. You know what I'm saying? I'm a social club for the most part. I got a, at once upon a time, I had an auto club and an MC backing.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, we ain't left out of this shit either. That's why I'm talking about the premise of a New York situation, a New York lifestyle, how we give it up here. Stay tuned. That's it.
I'm not gonna front. I'm gonna represent
like a motherfucker, but like I'm saying, stay tuned. Cause I got some shit
intrigued.
To talk about.
I'm definitely intrigued,
man.
Not for nothing.
Listen, man. All I'm gonna tell you is when you write it, think about signing to. That's it. That's what I'm gonna tell
think
you.
Think about what? I'm sorry. What was it?
He putting his bid in. He want to be an actor. Look at him. He's trying.
I'm sorry. What was it?
You got signed to the label, man. That's all I'm gonna tell you. After everything is done. You see the label behind me, you got to sign to that. All jokes aside, being that we are a part of this lifestyle, you know, and mm-hmm. Me and Rels, we've been in this for quite some time. At the same time, I'm very, like Rels said, I'm very intrigued, and I would love to see that done because, you know, New York, we are oversaturated with teams, whether MCAC, SC, TC, no other shit. I'm starting to see even regular bike. Cars.
Let me give just like a premise of something I want to speak about.
But there was a web series many, many years ago. I don't remember the name of it that actually kind of highlighted. I don't know if you remember, but it actually highlighted MCs, ACs, SCs, TCs. I just can't remember the name of it because I've been into web series for quite some time. And I remember watching it, and for the life of me, I can't remember the name, but they used to show them when they used to be like at the old Smash Clubhouse, and I was just
that was a spot.
Yeah, but they really had like they really did highlight like AC.
Dawn said it, Love and Lust.
Love and Lust. There you go. Yes, it was Love and Lust. Yep, there you go. Thank you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but this is many. This was a long time ago.
That's dope. Shout out to the person that created that. That's dope. That's absolutely dope. That's absolutely dope. However, I am Miss Pink, and I'm coming with the come through, and I just want to give a little smidget of it, right? How about this, right? You guys know who I am. Y'all know me. But for the people that's watching or whatever the case may be, how about I finally got an understanding of what it is to get the doors locked on you when doors get locked in the clubhouse. When doors get locked and shit about to go down, how about I got a feel of that? I need to talk about that. That shit was fucking scared the fuck out of me, but was excited at the same time. You know what I'm saying? This is the type of shit that happens in New York, though. It varies on different situations or whatever the case may be. Like I said, it's a fictitious situation. But goddamn, I'm a president for the most part of a social club. I'm here. I'm around. I want to talk about what goes on. I want to represent my city as well as the MCs, the auto club. Like we all play a major role of what goes down. And New York, you know what I'm saying? I do know at one point it was a time where we particularly didn't have that. Like social clubs was what? Property of or whatever the case may be. Social clubs are now, we have a voice now. We have a chance to do us. We got a chance to maneuver the way we want to without being like, managed or whatever, you know what I'm saying? ACs, y'all. At one point in time, it didn't matter for ACs to be a part of something. Like, y'all got your own shit. Y'all not coming into our circumference and coming here to talk about y'all auto club and the social club. But somehow in New York, we all kind of bind together. You know what I'm saying? The entities combined it together. So this is something I want to speak about. This is something that I think is a great opportunity just to bring light to our New York City situation. You know?
And that would be dope.
We fuck it up in New York.
That would be dope because a lot of people understand New York City, you know, as far as what teams go, it can even, you know, depending how you want to shoot, it can even go to, you know, to tri-states. It could go to Jersey. It could go to Connecticut. It could go to some parts, you know, of even Philly, depending on who the team is. Like, so what's your project, what you plan on showing would definitely be something different, because everybody loves these motorcycle shows like the Sons of Anarchy, the Mayan shows. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody know these shows is based off real clubs. You know, Sons of Anarchy is based off the Hells Angels, and the Mayans based off the Vargos and all that shit. So people want to see that like that. And also, hopefully, when you do it, you know, and people won't look at it taking away, you'll need some type of drama in that just to bring the to bring out the flavor. But think about it is,
it has to be done in the most, it kind of has to be done in a real respectful way too at the same time.
Absolutely. That's why, for the most part, I am just to be politically correct. You know what I'm saying? I am going around talking to my alphas of who I've met within this world. You know what I'm saying? I'm going around talking to my peoples. I'm communicating. I'm connecting. I want to hear this. I want to hear that. Like, this is about to be a real life situation. It's about to be a real story, whether this club agree or not, or whatever the case may be. But my particular project is based on one club, basically. You know what I'm saying? So I'm talking to a plethora of MCs, a plethora of people that is going to help me create my story. You understand what I'm saying?
Do know when you do this, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna have, and this is something that me and Russ always talk about all the time, as far as like, you know, when people try to do their thing, you know, you're gonna have haters. And especially,
I got haters now. Y'all ain't see that page? I got haters now. Y'all ain't see that page?
I ain't worried about that.
I'm saying I don't care. I'm saying like I don't particularly care about haters. I had haters when they told me that I couldn't do Faith Tribulation, when they told me that I couldn't do this. Like, I'm a person, I don't particularly care about haters. I am a screenwriter. I am a producer. Like, I do this for real. I don't care about haters. I don't care about that. You know what I'm saying? Only thing that haters
you, like, people gonna hate you. I'm talking about as far as what you doing. Like, you say you want to do a show based off the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And one thing about you, like you said, everybody knows you. Everybody see you around. You know, somebody, you might have people, like I said, like, even though we're in the club, we in the lifestyle, we don't participate in the bullshit of the lifestyle. We block out the bullshit lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? But my thing, I'm talking about from a business standpoint. Once you bring the lifestyle into your work, you're going to have people that's going to hate. You're going to have people that may try to sabotage what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? You might want to shoot a scene with a particular team who those might not like. And you never know what could happen. You know what I'm saying? They might cause commotion so a block away to where to get your shit shut down. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to have a particular type of haters who ain't going to want to see you, and especially that you're speaking on this lifestyle, which a lot of people don't want this thing to be spoken on. Why? Because some fact in this lifestyle, there is a lot of bullshit that goes on that turns people off. And if you, by you speaking about it and making something of it, you know, and hopefully, you know, you'll get this out to the world, you'll get the people more glimpses of what's going on in New York. It could be good, it could be bad.
I want to see this done. All right, Pink. So we got some questions, right? In the comments.
This is
becoming a real popular topic. So, Mac asks, are you referring to Diamond or Family Clubs?
You kind of have to wait and see what this is about. And just to give a little bit more of a little sneak peek of, I mean, like, just a little hint of this situation. This is about an independent MC club that it wants to be overrided by a Diamond club. If that makes sense to you guys, like, a Diamond club wants to take over an independent MC club, if that makes sense to you.
No, it makes sense. I mean, we get it.
Okay. That answers, who asked that question?
That was Mac.
If that makes sense to you, Mac.
Okay, so Envy asks, are you somewhat undercover looking into MC club life, slowly putting the life of MCs out there?
Wait.
Like I guess what she's trying to say is like, are you doing it publicly or are you like doing this behind the scenes? That's what I want to assume she means.
This is actually a production, real life shit. Like this is a production. This is an actual production.
Okay. All right. So that's it's definitely a production. That's cool. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of them got in the stand though.
No, I wasn't sure how you said it. That's why I said it the way I said it, Envy.
No, so I mean,
yeah, I'm sorry, I can't see the comments for the most part, but this is, yeah, that's why I'm asking the questions for me. I'm sorry, yeah,
because to see, like, when somebody in Mac acts was a diamond family, if it's a diamond club, I mean, that will agree to this, that'll be weird because when it comes to diamond clubs, you know, they definitely supposed to be, you know, ain't supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, like, that was definitely the rules back then. The lifestyle was supposed to be seen, but being you having clubs, you know, agreeing to this, that lets them know like things have changed over there. Everybody, and it's becoming more open. And like I said, like, you know,
Diamond and family. That's this is a fictitious series. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Again, like we have our out of towner people that had series about what's going on in a town in California, different parts of that, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to shed light to what's going on in New York. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to talk about some real shit because, like, I know a lot of people. I'm going to talk about some real shit. And, of course, there's going to be people that's going to dig what I'm talking about, and it's going to be like, ugh. But I'm here for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to incorporate. In New York, we have our MCs. We equally have our autos and our social clubs as well. You know, I do understand this is a predominantly MC world. This is the MC world. The MCs, they allow us, for the most part, to come in and live here with y'all. To kick it with y'all, for the most part. But we do have our stance and our hand in this as well. You know, we do make our mark in here as well. That's just basically what it is.
Mac asked a question, the same question I asked. I'm asking a question for me and him.
Mm-hmm.
You say you talked to a lot of different people, even though it's fiction. You know what I'm saying? You know, most fictitious. A lot of stuff is fictitious, yes. And you said you talked to a lot of people. Was these people presidents, or they was lower rank than that? Because, and I asked this because this lifestyle, like, you know, I've been in a while, and I'm quite sure the people that's asking the same question have been in longer than me. You know, they've seen. I don't know if they've been in the beginning, but they've seen the lifestyle go from secrecy to moderate secrecy to
motherfuckers
just let it all out. You know what I'm saying?
I dig it.
Even before I got in this lifestyle, I didn't know nothing about this. Mind you, it's fucking over 1,000 people in this city who's part of this lifestyle. But prior to me joining, I knew nothing about this. You know what I'm saying? So now, being that you're making, you know, you want to make a series about this, like I said, which is cool. Do you have a lot of these top tier like presidents who, you know, who's respected? Because you just can't, I'm not going to lie, you can't just talk to regular basic presidents like, y'all want to do this, I want to do that. You have to talk to respected presidents who have a good say-so, good rapport with other presidents, you know, to get them to see your light and your vision of what you're doing. Because like Mike said earlier, this at the end of the day, regardless of everything that goes on in this lifestyle, this is still a secret society.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Like Envy just said right now, like, it doesn't matter the position. The question is, are the clubs aware that they are kind of being interviewed for a book or a movie, et cetera?
Absolutely. I am very transparent of what I'm doing, for the most part. I don't go around nowhere without people knowing what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. Like, I don't. Absolutely, I'm talking to top-tier people. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking to hierarchies and top-tier people.
And I'm using absolute discretion when it comes to what I'm making or what I'm creating. I'm just basically, it don't even matter what's happening or what's going on. For the most part, I'm just trying to create a story about what's happening in New York. So it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter who and what and where and how. But yeah, I am talking to some, you fellas know me. Y'all know I know some people behind some people for the most part. And it's discretion that's going to always be used. That's why the name of my particular story is called Two Down Riders. It's fictitious.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. It's definitely fictitious and everything. You know, by all means, go for it. You know what I'm saying? That this is what you want to do, I'll never tell somebody, yo, don't do it. Like I'm saying, like, mm-hmm. you know, you do all the proper protocols, you know.
I think the most important, like you said, the most important part is doing it in the most respectful way without trying to, because that can go one or two ways. Real, it can go really good or really, really bad. So,
absolutely, definitely. Is there any more questions on the board?
The last one, Envy said, "Are you preparing yourself in case it gets messy?"
Absolutely. That's a good question, Envy. That absolutely, I am. I am fully prepared. Yes, I am. I'm a part of this lifestyle. I'm a part of this lifestyle, this nation, and you know, I'm not. I didn't enter this, like, you know, by accident or whatever. Like, I came here because I want to be nosy or whatever. I'm prepared, absolutely, to, if people feel away or whatever or what have you. You know what I'm saying? And this is, I'm a screenwriter, too. You know, this is the life that I choose to. That's like being a reporter or whatever. I'm not on that level. Absolutely not. But that's just basically my lifestyle, my livelihood, and I just happen to be a part of that and this as well. That's why I'm gonna represent New York to the fullest. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna represent New York. I'm gonna be the face behind New York and a person who talk about this lifestyle to the best of my ability, respectfully and politically correct. Envy. To answer Envy's question.
Okay. So, we're going to close it out anyway because it's already, over.
Are we past our time? Oh,
yeah,
shoot.
So, first of all, thank you for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Where can people view your stuff?
Sweet Pink Films everywhere. Like, I'm on every Sweet Pink Films platform, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Sweet Pink. It's pink with an E, not an I. So it's Sweet PENK Films. Everywhere.
Okay. All right. Black Ghost, anything you want to say before we close out?
No, honestly, like, you know, like you said, you got many hats. I would love to see you flourish in everything you do. You know what I'm saying? Me and you've been rocking with each other for years. You know, you even had me pull up to one of the Bronx sets that she was in, you know, with the whole bunch of people and all that. I'll never forget something like that. Even if it was minor, just being there was just a different experience. You know what I'm saying? Just me, you know, because believe it or not, I might be from the Bronx, all over the Bronx. That particular part of the Bronx, I never even bothered to set foot from because I ain't know nobody over there. So to go over there, what they say, they consider the birth of the hip-hop section, is very much appreciated. You know what I'm saying? And everything you're doing, I hope you flourish on it. I hope, you know, you go big, go hard, and, you know, that's it. Go hard or go home.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, fellas, for having me. I appreciate it. I want to give you guys your flowers as well. Y'all been doing this for a minute. I've known you guys for quite some time now. And I remember when you guys was like speaking about a plan, conjuring up a plan, and now you're actually executing a plan. And I love it. I dig it. I appreciate you guys. And again, thank you for having me.
No, pleasure's ours. Welcome. Thank you. Welcome.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the flowers.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Give me allergies.
You stupid. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Have a good night, everybody. See you next week.
Peace out.